Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, Monday, May the 18th, 2026, 12 and a half minutes past the hour. Beautiful Monday morning. 80-something degrees today. How about that? 88 degrees, I think I heard Adam say. And it was in the 80s yesterday, going to be in the 80s tomorrow. We've got a trifecta of beautiful days here in the Marion area. And then, of course, we're going to take the plunge on Wednesday, go back down to 60 degrees for a few days, I believe through Saturday, get some rain at the end of the week. But you know what? I was shocked as I was driving in this morning. We are 7 days away from Memorial Day. Memorial Day is next Monday, a week from today. Now, Memorial Day is the official kickoff to summer. Now, I don't know why it's the official kickoff to summer, because summer doesn't actually come until June the 21st, but Memorial Day is the official kickoff to summer. It will happen a week from today, and I believe we have only had 3 days, really, in the last couple months where we have had temperatures over 80 degrees. So I don't know what that means for the summer. Maybe, I don't know if that means a really warm summer or a really cool summer, but Memorial Day's next Monday, and I think it's sneaking up on everybody this year. A matter of fact, I think this is the earliest in the month that Memorial Day can come next Monday, because it's the last Monday in May. So the latest it can come is the 31st, but I believe the 31st is on a Sunday this year, so the earliest Memorial Day can come is actually, I believe, the 25th, which is when it will come this year. I believe that's right. Somebody will have to check me on that, but I think that's right. So Memorial Day a week from today. Boy, how about that? Now, gas prices are coming down. Now, I assume there are a lot of reasons gas prices are coming down. And by the way, they're not coming down a lot. Still 470-ish over the weekend. But I believe they're coming down for Memorial Day, because usually Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, people travel, people go to the beach, people do their thing, and we try to get the gas prices down so people will travel. I don't know how far they're going to get down in the next week. I would imagine they would continue to go down. I don't think I said that right, but we'll go with it, up through next Monday. But this is the way it is right now, and hopefully they'll continue to go down a little more. Across the street from here is a gas station, and they only have two pumps, and I never see anybody getting gas over there, but their gas is always a little lower priced than other places. This morning, I think it was $4.68. So $4.68 across the street from the radio station here this morning. I believe it's still $4.71. Across town. So not a whole lot of difference, but those are the gas prices this morning. Again, I said Memorial Day coming up a week from today. Beautiful weekend this past weekend. I was thinking this morning as I got up, and it was nice and sunny and beautiful. Last week, I mowed my yard on Thursday. Everything looks nice in the yard when the sun is shining. It's just great. May is one of my favorite months of the year. May and early June. I really like those months before it gets super, super hot. Although yesterday was super, super humid. I'm not a big fan of the humidity, but, you know, you take what you can get where we are now. Marion Harding graduated yesterday. And you can always tell that every year, because there are a ton less cars on the road in the morning on Route 95. The first thing you notice is that Tri Rivers has hardly anybody in the parking lot. So Tri Rivers becomes much easier to navigate from the middle of May through August. less of a traffic jam there in the morning. And Harding graduated yesterday. So also you can get through the McDonald's line a lot quicker when school is no longer in. Getting a message from one of our listeners out there this morning. BP on Fairground Street, $4.38 for regular. My goodness. I wonder what's going on the BP over on Fairground, which would be right there in front of what used to be Community Markets. I'm not even sure. What do they call it now? Kingsaver? They're on Fairground Street. That's a big change. $4.38 versus $4.68 across the street from the radio station here, and $4.71 on Route 95. Maybe a lot of people don't go over to Fair Park and get their gas, but $4.38, that's a big change. If the price is still that this morning, you want to get over there. Thank one of our listeners this morning for tipping us off to the gas prices. Okay, well, we did that. We did the weather and the gas prices. There was something I wanted to say. Nicely mowed lawn. It still rains every day, although I don't think it has rained today yet. It did rain early yesterday morning. The rest of the day was nice. It was humid, but it was nice. But I don't think it's rained today yet. So we'll hold out that it won't rain today, although it seems to rain somewhat every day. No matter what. Okay, well, we've got a city council committee meeting, committee meetings coming up tonight, 6:30 p.m. Looks like the big things there are going to be decorum, the continuing conversation on decorum for council, which I have to be honest, I'm not trying to be difficult on this, but I truly don't understand what's going on with decorum. Because the person who would have to enforce the decorum rules, if they were enforced, would be the president of council. And the president of council has not really had control of the meetings in 2.5 years. So I'm not really sure how this will help or hurt. And as I have said to many council people, and some who have been there quite some time, I've said, isn't this more of an indictment on the president of council that she can't control a meeting in 2.5 years? Isn't that why we have to have rules of decorum? Because, you know, every bit of legislation that gets passed, especially like this, which is more of a cosmetic thing, you know, doesn't cost anything. When you pass something like this, usually it's in reaction to something. And I think even council would say it's in reaction to how some are acting during and after meetings. So if it's in reaction to behavior, because if everybody was behaving perfectly, what would be the point of having decorum rules put in? But in any event, my point is if you go back and look at old meetings, council meetings, before the current president, or you go back, you could go back quite a while. Former city council presidents, Phil Reed, Dave Edwards, I believe was his name. I always forget him. Todd Schneider, Scott Gray, all of these people controlled the room. And they threw people out of rooms. They threw council members, I believe, out of rooms if they were not behaving in a certain way. And I don't believe anybody ever really challenged that. And all of a sudden, we've got a council president who really doesn't do that. And I think that's where these rules of decorum are really coming from. So, I don't know. I would think somebody would say, if the president of council was controlling these meetings, we really would not need these rules of decorum. Should also mention that the phone lines are open this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So that's one of the things going on tonight during the city council committee meetings. I guess we'll find out how our new council member in the 4th Ward, Nathan Stevenson, 29 years old, will do tonight. Tonight will kind of be his first meeting after being elected, in which he's kind of more aware of what's going on. So we'll see how he falls on a lot of these issues tonight, or if he says anything or gets involved. That'll be interesting to see. Nice to have the young blood on council, though. I think everybody's happy about that. And tonight, the transit fare increase will be discussed. Now, we talked to City Councilman-at-Large Aaron Rollins last week, and he seemed to feel that the transit fares were almost going to double. That would be the proposal brought in front of City Council. Now, when transit fares were last talking about being increased, I believe all of City Council voted against it. So, what will happen tonight? I don't know. Apparently, the rate increases do have to go through committee and do have to go through council. That's not something the mayor can do on his own. So, that'll be the discussion tonight. What are the fees going to be raised to? And is this a good idea? I don't know. From people who ride the bus, I don't know if this is a big deal or not. I keep hearing that people who ride the bus don't care if they have a rate increase. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, that's just one of those things you hear. But I guess we'll find out if people want a rate increase or not. And how much money will that bring in? I think that's also another question. We don't know how much money, how much revenue this would bring in. I don't know how many people ride the bus in a given week, the city bus. Now, we were told that this was because of the raised gas prices, which is kind of an odd thing because this was already on the mayor's plan of ways to help the city financially, which he sent out back in February. Now, the gas prices were not on the rise yet back in February, so I don't know why this now is because of the gas prices, but, you know, that's what was said last week. So we'll go along with that. We still have not heard anything about the elimination of curbside recycling, and last I heard, curbside recycling was still being picked up. So that's still where that is. Haven't seen any legislation or notes on that yet. But I guess we will find out as we go on down the road. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay. I did want to mention then that the Bravo competition over at Bucci's, the grand finale of that will be this coming Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. I don't think you want to miss this. This was a lot of fun last week. Matt and I attended. And it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours long. It does go about 2 hours. But it's a very entertaining program. A lot of talented singers, one talented dancer. It is entertaining. There's not a dud in the bunch. They all do very, very well. They're all very, very entertaining. We played some of the music on Friday that we heard on Thursday last week. And they're just great, talented kids. Now, if you want to be proud about something in Marion, or you want to be happy about something, I think talent is the way to go. And talent from people 19 years old and younger. And these kids have a lot of talent. Now, I want to run down some of the names here who will be performing on Thursday night. We've got Aaron Brewer, Gabriel Ross Vanis, Helena Gray, Layla Wiley, Patience Delaney, Piper Krosky, Roman Bracey Malcolm, and Talon Watkins. A lot of fun there. All great performers, and this week is the grand finale, May the 21st, 7 to 9 p.m. over at Bucci's here in Marion. So we all look forward to that. Going to be a lot of fun. And last week, I said there was not a dud in the bunch, and the only person who had a rough performance, I think, was mainly a technical error. It was just a little bit of timing between the announcement of the person and the person actually starting to sing, which we did not know where that person was coming from. Certainly not her fault. And she has a beautiful, beautiful voice. So there's that. But a lot of fun. And it'll be interesting to see what songs the kids pick. I think they get to pick their own songs this week, so it'll be great to see what's going on there. Now, again, the phone lines are open this morning. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, feel free. 740-383-9944, 27 minutes past the hour here on this Monday morning. A week away from Memorial Day. Now, let's see. There was something else I was thinking about this morning when I sat down here. Oh, I know what it was. Okay. Well, you know, for a long time, and I don't know why we have this discussion in Marion. Maybe they're having this discussion in other places. I don't know. It's positive versus negative attitudes versus the city and the county and things going on. Now, what I mean by this is there are certain people who will buy T-shirts and they will support anything going on in Marion. And there's nothing wrong with that. I certainly don't believe there's anything bad there. And then you have a group of people who don't see things as well as some people do, and they tend to critique things going on in Marion. Which, again, nothing wrong with that. Freedom of speech. You're allowed not to be happy with everything. But the problem that has happened here, and I don't know if this is happening in other communities, is that it seems like the two groups get mad at each other. And I think herein lies the problem, is that the group that thinks everything should be promoted doesn't like that people are knocking certain aspects of the community, and they think that's hurting the community overall. And I think the people who are knocking things in the community don't like that the people who are always positive seem to attack them. I don't think anybody likes to be attacked either way. So it creates this kind of a circular problem in town, positive versus negative thinking. Now here's the thing about this. When something approaches you, you're either going to see it as a good or a bad idea. Now, I don't think that that's wrong. If one person sees it as good, good. If one person sees it as bad, that's fine. I don't know why this has become such a problem. You know, there are obviously very good things going on, and there are obviously things that we would like to change that are going on that would be considered not so good things. And I don't understand why this is a constant kerfluffle, as they say. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you this lovely Monday morning?
This is a beautiful day. You know, if Memorial Day is just 80% as good as today, we'll all be having a good Memorial Day.
I think we're supposed to have some nice weather. I actually looked at Tuesday and Wednesday. I sort of skipped past Monday because I'm going to be gone Tuesday and Wednesday, and I wanted to see what the weather was like. But it looks like it's going to be a decent holiday.
I hope so. Memorial Day is a lot of fun. The kids are usually out of school. It's not incredibly warm. It's the first time in a long time people can really get together and do outside things. So I hope it turns out like last week or this past weekend.
Yes, this was a nice weekend. Got some stuff done outside and went to Home Goods.
Oh, how was that?
I didn't know what to expect, and I realized, I guess, how small town I am because apparently they're all over the place. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to guess it's somehow affiliated with Walmart because a lot of their, think of it as overstock or a clearance section of Sam's Club. Because a lot of their stuff in there was Member's Mark or whatever the Sam's Club brand is. They had a lot of, everything you can think of. They had from very expensive to very inexpensive and dug around through the clothing racks and found a couple pairs of Levi's for $9 and some Under Armour shorts for like $12. And they have a lot of random sizes. Think like your extra smalls and your 3Xs, that sort of thing. You just kind of have to dig around for everything in the middle.
And this is where Big Lots used to be.
Yeah, but it was it was nice. It was clean. The store was clean. It was well lit. It was organized. Yeah.
Well, that sounds positive. You know, I like stores. I like Ollie's. Now, I think my preference to Ollie's is because they have so many books. I love going through the books at Ollie's.
And it's hard to find a store with a good book selection these days because no one reads paper books anymore. We all do our little digital books. I like a good paper book still. I don't like audio books or the e-readers. I still like flipping pages.
No, but you know, I did see an article this past weekend, or was it it's hard to remember if it's an article or if it's an internet thing or if it was a video, but basically that actual hard media is making a comeback, DVDs, so
good.
Maybe,
yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
Well, the only reason I enjoyed e-books was when I was in college. They were about a third of the price of textbooks. So, and you know how expensive textbooks can be, that $500 textbook that you never get rid of.
Well, so, exactly. You know, in my garage, I still have because what I used to do when I was in college, I would buy the book for the class, and then I would get one of those 5-star notebooks. And so for every class I had to take notes in, I would have the 5-star notebook, and I would have the textbook. And when I was done with them, I would put them in like a big tote. And 5 years of that, I've trekked these things around since college and still have them. And there's really no purpose at this point. I always think if I ever rent a big dumpster, they'll be one of the first things to go. But, yeah, you do keep them forever.
I still have all of my accounting textbooks because at one point in time, I was buying international versions of textbooks because they were less expensive than the American versions. And they would be slightly different than my peers' textbooks, so I'd have to, like, line mine up with theirs and stuff. But it was, again, like a third of the price, but that was before e-books got popular. You were talking about the positive versus the negative folks
in
town.
Yes.
What I think is ironic is all these positive folks that are, you know, hope is Marion's economy and everything else, they actually seem to be the ones that get the most angry. Because they get so mad when people disagree or point out or say, hey, maybe this isn't exactly right, that, you know, they actually, like, go to online bullying people. I'm trying to think of the things that have happened to me. Now, here's the difference between me and most people. I don't care. I don't care what people say about me. And I know when people say that, you know, they typically do have some degree of caring. I don't care until it becomes like violent or threatening to my family, then I start caring. Don't you think that's strange? Like, they're rah, 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 happy, everything is great and wonderful, and if you disagree, then you're the devil, you're the Antichrist, we need to ostracize you, you're hateful, stupid, negative, we got to send emails about you, we got to plot against you. Isn't that kind of strange, the people that are so happy and positive that they're so hateful when someone disagrees?
Well, I'll tell you why this subject came up this morning. Over the last, I'm going to say, 3 months, I mean, there have always been naysayers, and there have always been people who really touted the community, and usually you can find out why they're touting the community. I mean, they live here, or they work here, or they have some stake here, which I think we all want to have a little pride in our community, and there are a lot of good things to point out in Marion. There absolutely are.
Like that Bravo contest you were talking about.
Yeah, but
Lots of good.
But I think what has happened now is that when something happens that people like or they dislike, because of social media, it's another one of those social media things, it either gets built up or it gets torn down. And I think what people should realize is that, for a couple of examples, I mean, there was this big, long whoop-de-doo on this foodie guy. And, you know, God bless him. If he is bringing business to the restaurants in town, good for him. And a lot of people do like to follow him. I have heard a couple people around the radio station say that they follow him. I believe Adam had him as a guest on his show. You know, nothing wrong with that. And if you like him, good. But what I don't understand, you know,
why do we need someone from out of town to come tell us about how great our own town is?
Well, I mean, even if he wants to do that, that's fine. I guess what's confusing...
But doesn't that seem peculiar that we latch on to him, but not our own just local businesses, that we need someone from not from Marion to tell us how great our town is?
Well, the thing of it is that, okay, a few weeks ago, and I don't even remember who it was, but I woke up one morning, and he must have been in my algorithm, and he had posted negative comments that somebody had made about him in his a post.
Wasn't even negative comments, I don't think. I think it was more like questioning what I just said, like, who are you and why are you telling this about Marion?
And I think he took it as negative. But then that person... invited him to come try their food. So, you know, I thought, well, why take the time to lash out at this guy and then turn around and say, come try my food? And then I saw that person put a post up. Well, I heard that the foodie man had made a post showing comments that I made, and then she was trying to justify herself as to why she had made the comments. And I thought, was any of this really necessary?
It all could have been avoided.
Right. Just let him go do his food reviews. If it's bringing business to those places, good for him. If they invite him, good for them. I mean, I don't understand where this is a problem. And then I start to notice things like these public service groups. You know, every time they do a fundraiser, it seems as if they send a press release over to the newspaper. And I think, well, you know, now wait a second. Now, is this to raise money for a cause, or is this to tell people that your group is raising money for a cause? Because I'm pretty sure that the newspaper was not there covering your event. So there's that. And then there's people who just attack things to attack them. And I don't understand that either. And I'm not sure this does go on in other towns, because I'm sure it has gone on in other towns. But
if
I don't know.
If you follow the Delaware page, there's some infighting there. And what I think is, this is my take on it, is when all the people that everything is good, 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 maybe they're the recipients of everything in the town that is good, 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 good. And maybe the people that are pointing out the bad, 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 bad aren't the recipients of the good things. And maybe we're tired of just fighting to try to get a sidewalk while, you know, they can just show up at City Hall and get a turn lane put in. You know what I'm saying? Like, so maybe we're tired. Everything is good for them. Maybe all you have to do is pick up the phone and make a phone call or send one email and all of your problems are handled. But maybe the rest of us have to fight for just the little bit that we get.
Well,
we're tired of that.
Well, I can understand that, but I guess here's what I don't understand on the whole from either side. Okay, let's say I'm the group that's doing a good deed, and I get publicity for that. Again, nothing wrong with publicity. These groups have to survive. Service groups are down, you know, membership quite a bit. Okay, now if you put it out there, now see, once you put it out there that you have done this, if people critique it, you just have to take that. And can a few people's critique hurt the fact that you did it? Why does that bother you so much? I don't understand that. Does your event have to be seen as an absolutely pristine event? I don't think it does. And then on the other side, I look at the people who are critiquing certain events, and I go, well, I mean, really, what did that do? I mean, okay, you didn't like the event. Were you going to be involved in it anyway? Was that something you wanted to be involved with? It just seems like, I don't...
Okay, so that is a very nice segue into city council, because I was having a similar conversation with someone this weekend about the speaking rules at city council. And a lot of the comments that I'm reading online and a lot of things that are posted by people are people that don't go to city council. I've never seen them there. So they're talking about this rule and that rule, and people don't get a chance to speak. I've never seen you there trying to speak. And if it's inconveniencing you sitting at home watching it on television, or I'm sorry, on Facebook, then you could wait until after it airs and just fast forward through the parts of the people that you don't want to listen to talk.
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out.
Does that make sense to you, though? Like, all of these people have all these opinions, and I haven't seen one of their behinds in the seat.
Well, I had that conversation with somebody, a part of the city administration, not too long ago. And I'm still against the live streaming of the events. I think they should be available maybe the next day.
Because if those people are not there, then why do they care who says what and when? And then there's another person. Well, people get up to talk, and by the time everybody's done talking, you forget what you're going to say. Blah, blah, blah. I said, well, here's an idea. Position yourself to be the first speaker and have some thoughts written down before you get up to speak, because that's what I do. If there's points that I want to make, I have things written down. And I also write things down as people are talking if there's another point that I want to make, in case I want to make another point. So it's not hard. I mean, you just sit closer to the front and you're up to the podium first. So, and that's a person that I've seen there maybe twice in the past year. So it's not difficult.
No, and I don't understand why people are criticizing these things. You know, and I think here's what eventually ends up happening. The people who are positive about everything, you know, this is great, this is great, this is great, they eventually become critical too, because they become critical of the criticism.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So then we're all critical.
Well, I don't care if people are happy and they want to promote absolutely everything. Good for you. If that's your take, that's fine. I'm not going to belittle you or talk crap about you, unless you personally come after me. But, like, don't worry. Like, if the things I'm pointing out are true, how can people be angry about that?
Well, that's what I don't understand. You know what? Anybody out there can be critical. There's not a person alive today who's going to say, I like the gas prices. But because people feel that that is not directly related to Marion, which it's not, they can be unhappy about that. They can be unhappy about the food prices going up, which they are. They can be unhappy they can be unhappy about the gas prices going up, which they are. They can be unhappy about their utility bills going up, which they are, because they don't see that as a knock on the city. But if
the past 2.5 years of positivity and loving our city, what has it netted us? Where have we gotten? Are we any better off than we were before we were told that we needed to love our city with enthusiasm?
Well, see, that's why, well, and it's also the county, too, by the way.
Are we any better off? But, I mean, are we any better off now than we were before?
I don't think.
Before our positivity push.
I don't.
Hope became our economy.
I don't think that branding can create positivity. So, here's the problem in general. When you try to create branding that is supposed to create positivity, it's not going to create it with everybody. Because you know something? Some people have miserable lives. Some people in Marion today still have dirt floors. Now, I know that's hard for people to believe, but they do. And some people have trouble making the rent. And some people work 2 and 3 jobs, and they're unhappy.
And it's still not enough.
Right. Now, is that the city's fault? No, it's not the city's fault, but or the county's fault. But they're not going to be happy about the wine tasting that happens.
And they're also not going to vote yes on levies if they even go vote at all. You know, but they also might be more motivated to vote simply because those sort of things affect them. So when you're shaming them about voting no on levies, you know, we're not taking into account everyone's financial position. You know, when they can't feed their families, they're not going to go downtown and spend money and then get shamed when these businesses leave because we didn't support them hard enough, you know.
Well, then I started to think, wasn't it last year when the food card got cut off and the peanut butter jelly truck was running out of things and they did the big push to get donations, mm-hmm. which they got.
Yes.
They got the donations, mm-hmm. but then people were knocking them.
Yes.
And, you know, here we are again. This has nothing to do with politics.
Feeding people. Think about that. Feeding people.
But it is people's right if they want to knock it.
Right. And it's also my right to call you a wretch for begrudging your fellow human being a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Exactly, exactly. But I think we have come to the point now where if we... last Friday when I was talking about the Bravo competition, I said there were a few things that I didn't like. But I praised the competition overall. Now, I haven't heard back from anybody, so, maybe they understood or liked or whatever. Maybe they just didn't hear the show. But I think that's everybody's right to say, I really like this. I really think this is a good thing. But here are some things that weren't so great. Take that with a grain of salt, whatever. And
just like it's my right to the government and stand up and say, I think this is wrong, even when they don't like hearing it.
Well, right, but I the idea that you have to be positive or you have to be negative, there are many things that I see that I think, wow, that is a great thing. And I think that's a very, very positive thing. But then there are other things that I look at that I go, that's a very positive thing, but if it were me, I would do it this way. But again, that's just me. That doesn't mean it should be changed. It just means that's how I saw it. And we all live here. I don't think anybody's trying to bring the place down, but I also don't think you can turn a blind eye to certain things. So I don't know. It's just an odd thing.
There's plenty of good in Marion. Plenty of good. But we can't, as you just said, we can't bury our heads in the sand. We can't turn a blind eye. I mean, as I said, this whole loving our city, I mean, I have been treated like a pariah over that. Jason Schauber was treated like a pariah over that. The branding and the logo stuff. And, where has it gotten us? We are so much worse off. I'm not blaming it all on Bill Collins, but we are so much worse off now than when he took office as far as the financial situation, simply because we have a clearer picture of what the financial situation is, but we still don't have a clear picture of that. So, for all of the stickers and the logos and everything else, there's even a thing out there that says on Kellogg Parkway, there's the dual rail sign out there that's been out there forever since the place was put in. And there is a sign, I don't know if it's lit or not because I don't go out there at night, it says, love your industry on it. I mean, how far are we taking this?
Well, see, here's the thing, though.
And now it's just like, it's a reminder of the constant waste. Every time you drive around, bam, there's another love your, we spent a whole bunch of money.
Well, here's the thing, though. I understand what they were trying to do. And every mayor who comes into office, I do think, has some kind of ambitious idea of what they're going to do. So nothing wrong with that. It's just the reaction. If you're getting a bad reaction from a certain group of people, and there are a lot of people who like that. They'll buy the T-shirts. They'll go to the events. They like it. They think it's a good thing. I think the Marion City Schools adopted it as their
logo. And you know what? That's the reason why my son will not go back to Marion City Schools.
But
I will not send it because at this point it feels cultish. It feels like propaganda. We've got Love Your Seniors. We've got Love Your Drinkery. We've got Love Your City. We've got Love Your Schools. We've got Love Your This, Love Your Dollar General, Love Your, Love Your, Love Your. Dollar General, interesting. But no, my son will not go back to Marion City Schools because they adopted Love Your Schools as their slogan. So he will stay in online school. I would prefer that he graduates as a Prexy, but and I'll tell you this, if you've got Love Your City, a sticker on your door, there's a good chance that I turn around and walk away from your establishment.
Yeah.
Unless it's something that I really need or I'm already a loyal customer, I will not come inside your store if you have a Love Your City sticker on your door.
Here's the thing. If people
want to...
Well, but if people want to do it, good for them.
Sure. Right, I don't want to be part of your cult.
But here's the thing.
You're welcome to it.
When they get criticism, I don't understand why people can't go, I understand every idea since the beginning of time has faced some criticism. I am not doing this to be critical or upset people. I understand that it does upset people, but this is what I'm doing, and I hope over time people can accept it for what it is. I don't know why that can't be the response instead of negativity, because then now we've just got negativity off negativity.
That may very well have been a better approach, and it may have been better, more widely accepted, and I myself might have been more open-minded to the concept had it not been forced upon us as if it were the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, I guess this is all comes back to decorum. What happened to civility? What happened to civility? I mean, even if you did not like what somebody had to say, why can't you have a conversation with that person about that?
I agree.
That is gone. And
you know, I think really all of city council could take a lesson from me in having thicker skin, because I've had some pretty horrible things about me, and they're consistently said about me, and I get up and I survive, and I don't try and piss and bitch and moan about it all the time. I keep on living.
I just don't know. I set
new rules and, you know, that sort of thing. So, I mean, if they want me to teach them how to be tough, I can do that. Because, I mean, they're all very, very thin-skinned, it seems.
Well, I mean, there are great days here. We've got a lot of great events coming up here in town. O.J. McDuffie's coming back to Marion for a fundraiser. I believe that's on May the 30th. We've got this Bravo event, which is going on, the grand finale this Thursday. We have Bobby Floyd coming back for the Juneteenth celebration. I believe that's June the 20th. We've got a lot of very nice things. There are a lot of very nice things planned for the 250th anniversary of the country.
And then we'll have the fair.
The fair's coming up. And you can drive over to the root beer stand any day of the week and sit at
a
restaurant.
Is the root beer stand open? Oh, I guess it's May.
Oh, yeah, it's open.
Question, isn't it?
Yeah, you can drive over there. It's been there for over 100 years now, I believe 101 years, without ever a break in service. You know, there are a lot of you can go over to the Gypsy Queen. There are always people at the Harding Memorial. You can do a lot of fun things in Marion and have a lot of fun and enjoy it. But the you know, people bucking up against each other.
But our basements also flood, and you know, I mean, there's real issues and that we face that by just slapping stickers on everything everywhere and smiling, and you know, we don't know what's going on with our finances, and I would guess by the end of this month, if not sooner, maybe not the end of this month, seeing how close we are, but sooner rather than later, we're going to be moving into fiscal watch, out of fiscal caution. I don't see us staying in fiscal caution or getting out of our emergency situation anytime soon, so our distress situation, I shouldn't say emergency because that's an actual level, so hopefully we don't go there, but that's also a possibility.
So, ignoring that,
we can't ignore that we're down 8 police officers. We can't ignore that we're reducing staffing at the fire station.
Well, didn't the firefighters release a statement here in the last couple of days saying they are having very slow response times?
If they did, I did not read that.
I think I saw that.
That makes sense if they did.
That in and of itself is very disturbing. Now, I don't know
if the Post said something. It was like 32 calls and an 8-hour
Yeah, I think that was the Post, yeah.
Something, yeah, it was a lot of calls. 32 or 36 in 8 hours. I mean, it was a lot of calls, and I was surprised by how many they went out on.
I mean, that's scary.
But yeah, they're to the point now that they're prioritizing also, and this would just be a good friendly piece of advice to everyone, not to scare anyone. I mean, this is just good advice for life. Now would be a good time to brush up on your first aid and CPR skills.
But, you know, when you think about that, you think, what stress must those firefighters be under at this point?
Those poor men and women, I think they're mostly men these days, but those poor people, I thank you to the firefighters and to the police officers, too. I know they're stretched pretty thin right now, and hopefully they can get some candidates. I don't know, but this is another thing. We're all just going to have to start watching out for each other, and I don't want to be like, oh, we're on our own, but we're certainly stronger together. If we can help each other out instead of relying on the city for stuff, we're probably going to get a little bit further right now.
Well, I guess my point is just simply that if somebody does an event and you don't like their event, but they do, okay, let them like their event. Big deal. You know, it's nothing earth-shattering. It's nothing that's going to ruin the world. So I don't know why it has to be the way it is right now, but that is going to be, and I believe this about the United States of America too, you have to have somebody who can unite the community. And it doesn't have to be a politician, by the way. You've got to have to be somebody. You've got to have somebody who can unite the community, where we want to come together, where we want to try our best. And I don't know that we've had anybody like that for quite some time.
I was trying to rack my brain. I'm going through the list of quote unquote notables in Marion, and I don't know who that would be at this point.
You know, I don't know. I just think that it's very, very sad that this is the state of affairs in 2026, because it does a lot of damage. It does do a lot of damage on the whole. And I don't know. I don't know what the end result of that damage is, but it can't be good.
It definitely creates an us versus them attitude, and it will be a generational us versus them attitude, because, you know, we teach our kids what we live, or our kids learn what they live, I suppose, and or the have versus the have nots, however you want to look at it. Until really there's just, I hate to tell the haves this, but the have nots are going to outnumber them before too. Well, they likely already do outnumber them, and then I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, when we think almost a quarter of the city lives in poverty already, at or below poverty, and then, you know, how many are struggling just even be considered middle class, there's going to come a breaking point where the haves are going to still continue to rule the have-nots, but there's just going to be a whole lot less money available to do it. So,
well, it's very interesting to me that a lot of the people who people consider, I guess, to be the haves, who have money and so on and so forth. You know, I hate to say this, and this is not going to be a popular stance, but I don't think a lot of this has to do with politics, and I don't think a lot of this has to do with the politicians. I believe there's a group of people, and I guess it would be the generation between 40 and 60 right now. That generation, now I'm not saying they don't support their community, but they spend more time going other places. They spend more time.
I'm one of them.
Okay, right. But they spend more time.
I spend more time in Columbus and places like that, spending right. money and activities than I do in Marion.
And they spend more time having a drink or going to a social or doing something like that than actually going in and you know, helping clean up a playground or doing stuff.
Oh, for sure. I spend more time volunteering in Marion than I do dollars.
Right.
So, yes, I mean, mowing grass, or like I made 15 gallons of laundry detergent this morning, and I plan on bottling 100 bottles before Thursday.
But
That's not me bragging, but I don't see any of these people there doing that sort of stuff either.
No, but I guess the problem is when I go to these, you know, pancake breakfast, or I go to these events like that, which tend to be lower economic events, I never see them there. I don't see them showing up for that. And the generation before them and the generation before that, even if they were some people who had some money and had some prestige, they still showed up to those events. And I think it's also why there's a lack of people running for office right now. That generation is not really stepping up to run for office right now. And I think that's why there's a lack of leadership in a lot of ways, because there is nobody stepping up to do anything like that. You know, somebody, Harding graduated yesterday. Somebody told me recently that this group of kids doesn't have the highest aspiration that they can achieve anything in this country. Not that everybody's going to, but they're not even given that aspiration because their parents don't approach it. Their parents are more practical. They're like, you know, just try to get a job where you can make the most money, and then you can do what I do. You know, you can live for the weekends and go to the concerts and have a drink now and again and go to a nice restaurant. You know, I don't know that that's the greatest thing in the world. I don't know that that supports or helps the community you live in.
Well, that comes back to I always tell my son, it's not like this everywhere. This is just Marion. And hopefully I've gotten him out of here enough to visit different places and see different culture that he realizes that things are different than Marion. We have a real issue with poverty. But, you know, as far as supporting things throughout the community. You know, people want to love their city and whatever else. This Bravo contest, and yes, my son's involved in it, so I'm biased. But not one, well, I can't say that. Aaron Rollins has been there. But not one other city official has came out to support youth, and this is actually a Crawford Marion County Drug Prevention Program contest, and not one city official has came out, or county official, other than Aaron Rollins, have came out to support drug and alcohol for youth.
Well, I hope they do this week. I mean, school's out now. I mean, people do have busy schedules in May, but this is the grand finale, and I hope this week that something like that happens. And I think Austin King, one of the judges, runs the competition, so maybe he'd be open to having people there. I think a lot of times, honestly, though, a lot of people feel that if they were to do something, people get a little uptight about that. But certainly show up. It's Thursday night, 7 to 9.
Show up. Yep. See you Thursday.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to break. We'll be back after this.
I needed him because he was the marshal some years ago of the Israeli Day Parade in New York City, where I, of course,